One of the first things I want to do is just a basic listening, mindful listening exercise. Now, you might already be mindfully listening to all the sounds around you, but we're going to do that more specifically with these bells, right? So I bring these bells, right? It looks like it might be a very mystical, spiritual experience. The main reason I bring them is just because they make this really pleasant ringing sound. So what I want you to do, you don't have to change your posture or anything. All I want you to do is just see if you can tune into the sound of the bell from the moment it begins until that split second when it dissolves back into silence. All right? Great. And we're going to do this again. And this time, really see if you can follow that sound from the moment it starts right until that transition point. Just see if you can notice it more acutely this time. All right? Even with all of the sounds going on around us, it does require an increased, refined attention to just being here with the sound of the bell. Let's try it out. Great. And we're going to do this three more times. But for the last three, my encouragement to you will be to close your eyes. And let's just see how that influences the experience. Okay? And again. And then once more. Great. And you can open your eyes again when you'd like. So, that experience can bring up different things for different people. And you may have noticed that your attention to the sound of the bell was more refined over time. Maybe you were able to follow the sound all the way until that split second moment when it transitioned back into silence, more acutely as time went on. Maybe you noticed that when closing your eyes, you were able to hear more of the sound than when your eyes were open. Or maybe you noticed that as listening to the sound of the bells, you became more attentive to all the other sounds going on around you. And maybe there was even like this feeling of like, ah, God damn it, why is there so much sound going on around? Like, it's not quiet enough for me to focus on the bells, right? And so that was interesting, maybe. This idea of we give our mind a task and we say, all right, just focus on this. And then when we start noticing all these other things that get in the way of that, then those things become more of a problem for us. Or maybe you noticed that just listening to the sound of the bell, there was this sense of being a bit more grounded, a bit more settled, a bit more present. And that's also quite possible. And so I think a lot of times what happens when it's probably fair to say that prior to tuning into this video, there was lots that you had to think about and lots that you had to plan and do. And once this is over, there'll be lots that you need to work through and think about. And even as I'm talking right now, you might have no idea what I'm saying because your mind is someplace else entirely. So a lot of times our mind is someplace else entirely, and we're caught up in thinking and future planning and reflecting on the past and rumination and judgment. And however, when we do something like just listen to the sound of the bells, when we really tune in and become present in that way, a lot of the other thoughts and the mental chatter do seem to fall to the wayside. That quality of being present doesn't seem to allow as much of the mental noise to penetrate our consciousness. And, you know, we have to, I just have to acknowledge that sometimes we can hear that and say, well, are you saying that mindfulness is never about thinking about the future, never about thinking about the past? No, not at all. I think focusing on the future and the past is absolutely imperative. But I have also found in my life that a lot of times my mind gets caught up in the future, gets caught up in the past, without me actually asking it to. And it's not always serving me. It's not always beneficial. A lot of times it's just creating excess stress, excess anxiety, excess frustration, sadness, despair, all these things, or even leading to patterns of rumination that could get me caught into cycles of depression, as used to happen. And so what I see is not necessarily this need to get rid of thought, to stop the mind from thinking, or stop us from thinking about the future or the past, but to not be so caught up in it, to not be so enslaved to it, and when we need to be able to drop into the present moment and be fully here. And so that's more of what we're exploring through this practice. And this quality of paying attention, of being engaged in this way, in the way that you did with the bell, it seems to be something that is increasingly compelling in our culture right now, to the point where we see the cover of Time magazine. This was in 2014. Definitely need a new cover. This thing is falling apart. So this was 2014, the Mindful Revolution. This was a few months after that, the cover of Scientific American, the Neuroscience of Meditation. And then this was this was about 2 years after that, the cover of Time Mindfulness, right? And you might notice some similarities here. Do you see that? Same person on the cover. So I have a couple issues with this. One is just the general, does Time magazine not have the resources to get another model or take another picture? Are they that lazy? And then the other thing is, if you go back to 2003, Time also ran another article on meditation. And can you guess what the woman on the cover looked like? Yeah, so not the same exact person, but you'd really have to squint to be able to see any differences. Skinny, white woman, blonde hair, perfectly pink lips, great complexion. And I have nothing against skinny white woman with blonde hair and pink lips and great complexion, but if you were to put an acidic Jew on the cover of Time magazine every time you're talking about meditation, I'd start getting curious, like, what kind of message are you sending about who gets to meditate or who does meditation? So all of that just feels important to name at any time that something like this hits the mainstream, the media is going to put a particular face on it, and that can send a very particular message. And I want to point out that many people of all different races, sexual orientations, physical capabilities are engaged in this practice. If you have a mind and a body, it seems that you can drop into mindfulness and really allow this work to permeate your life in a powerful, positive way. The main reason I bring this up and bringing out these magazines is to point out that these media outlets would not be putting mindfulness on the cover of their magazine if they did not think that people would be interested in taking the magazine and reading more about it. And so there's something going on culturally where people are more compelled to this practice or the idea of being present. And I have a lot of theories around why that is, one of which is the research, which I'll talk about more in a bit. But the other is technology. And I imagine you probably have a cell phone. And if you have a cell phone, it's probably a smartphone, maybe an iPhone or an Android, something like that. And all of that is great, right? This technology is amazing. It really does connect us in ways that we've never been connected before. One tweet, we know what's going on halfway around the world. Big systemic issues are coming to the surface through the advent of video cameras and social media. And I heard that you have more resources in your back pocket because of this thing than the President of the United States had 20 years ago. Just by virtue of having a smartphone in your back pocket, you have more access to things and information than the President had 20 years ago. So that's remarkable. But I also heard that if you go on a date with someone and you have your smartphone out and it's on the table, even if it's turned off upside down and never goes off once, it actually prevents the conversation from going to deeper, more substantial levels. So, there's something going on there as well. I'm not totally sure the variables at work, but I think on some level, when this thing is out, it communicates that the conversation will get interrupted, or there's this sense of like the person is not fully engaged with me. And so, one of my encouragements to you will be over the period of time that we have here, when we are engaged in this practice together, and when you are tuning into these modules, if you can put technology aside, it really will be in service of what we're trying to cultivate. And what would that look like? Maybe turning your phone off entirely, or if not that, putting it on silent, or if not that, putting it on vibrate. But I do recommend not doing vibrate just because that can interrupt the flow. And most of these modules won't be that much longer than an hour, and sometimes less than an hour. So for the most part, if you can find that chunk of time where you don't need to be on it, then do these modules during that period, and then put the phone aside. Put it in a different room entirely, so you're not even tempted, or not even tempted. Because what we do see is we're all crackheads, and I use that with some hyperbole, but I also mean that quite literally. Because what the research suggests is that the same parts of your brain that go off when if you were to do something like crack or cocaine is the part of your brain that goes off when you get a text message from a friend, or when you log on to Facebook and you see that little red circle that says 3, 4, or 5, and you get so excited because all your friends commented on your cat pictures. Right? It's the same reward pathways in the brain. We see that it's a pattern of addiction that's happening with the cell phone. In the same way that it used to be with cigarettes, right? Where are my cigarettes when we're nervous or bored? Do the same thing with their phone. Where's our phone? Where's our phone? So instead of seeing it as like a form of renunciation from or demonizing cell phones, it's a form of practicing non-addiction. Technology is not going anywhere, and we don't want it to go anywhere because it's what allows us to do what I'm doing right now, to be able to communicate with you while I'm in Costa Rica, and you might be tuning in from somewhere halfway around the world, and we might not get the opportunity to meet in person, but we can engage in these teachings in this way. So it's amazing, but we do need to also create some wise parameters for when we engage in technology and when we don't engage in technology. And I think during this period of time, it's very helpful to explore engaging in this work without some of the distractions that technology and specifically cell phones can create. Unless, of course, you're listening to this module on your cell phone, then don't get rid of the cell phone because then you'll also take me with you. So obviously, we have to figure out what works for us around this.